But what exactly is it that you want, Mr. Johnston?
Something real. Something that hasn't been made by man. Something that isn't synthetic. That's all. Dr. Keith.
But why do you feel that you must have this something real?
Why, Mr. Divisional Controller? I don't know. I just know that I must, that's all. Something I can hold in my two hands, touch, and know that it hasn't been made by man.
By whom, then, Mr. Johnston?
By whom? I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I must feel something real that hasn't been made by man. Don't you understand?
SS-68.
Biotech, the new soak and pre-wash powder, brings you SS-68. Stories which plunge vividly into other worlds, other dimensions, other times. SS-68.
Mrs. P. Midgley of Deesa Avenue Committee in the Cape wrote to say, I'd like to congratulate you on the efficiency of your product biotech, and also to thank you, Mr. Housewife, for solving the burden of my washing problem. And I can assure you that I shall see to it that I am never without biotech in my home. And by the way, I have found that biotech used on a damp cloth or sponge will also clean the hand basin and the bath easily and well. So thank you, Mrs. Midgley of the Cape, for your endorsement. And I, too, wish to endorse biotech as far as the laundry is concerned, ladies. I'd like to say again that biotech is something that is quite unique and different in that it works through a biological action. I emphasize this biological action will note out the stubbornest things, and you will note they will vanish merely by soaking. And aside from whites and colored garments, biotech, in our estimation, is the best for textiles and synthetic tools. It contains no bleach. Its name is biotech.
SS-68 presents Quest, adapted for radio and produced by Michael McCabe. Quest. Surely you realize that. You must forgive me. I fear that a sudden adverse overload has overworked, you understand. You will be attended to. You will be attended to. You will be attended to. You.
Can I find something that isn't man-made? It's even him. Even my divisional controller is a robot. Was a robot. Let them sort that mess out if they can.
Mr. Johnson, age indeterminate. No one knew their ages anymore. No one knew anything very much anymore. Only their citizen code number, the duties assigned to them at their place of work, and their living quarters index number. Mr. Johnson, small, insignificant. It was a shock to Mr. Johnson, knowing that his trusted divisional controller, the man, the thing that he'd been in the habit of taking all his troubles to, was a robot.
What happened to the world? Machines that look like people, people who look like machines. Each day becomes more difficult to tell one from the other.
The town commanded everything. Everything was commanded by the town. The city. Johnson started walking in no particular direction. Dizzying cliffs of steel rising drunkenly towards the sky. Incredible blocks of artificiality marching doggedly towards infinity.
There must be an end to this city. There must be something real
somewhere. Must be. Try the elevator, Johnson. They must go somewhere. Somewhere real?
Elevator, yes.
Where to?
Down.
How far?
As far as I can go.
As far as you can go. Your name?
Johnson. Harry Johnson. I was just having a look around.
I will be your guide. I trust you will find the lower depth interesting.
Is there anything real down here? I mean, anything that just happened that wasn't created by...
Pardon, sir?
This is a corridor. More often.
Follow me, sir.
Just a minute. How far down are we?
27 miles.
27 miles? Is this the lowest level?
If you mean, does the city extend below us? No, it does not, sir.
Then what's down there?
Several miles of insulatory material, sir.
After that?
Well, sir, you allow me to, whisper. Archaic term that describes the inner core of the planet. That is all. There is nothing more.
I walk until I come to the end of the city. I walk for days, weeks, months. It doesn't matter how long for. And when the city's finished, there's got to be something new. Something that just happens without man. And Johnson did just that. Harry Johnson walked to the district. What Johnson happened to see? A tree? Or a flower bed? Ridiculous thought. Such things belonged in the midst of the shadowy past. The ugly past. But Johnson found. He had set out upon a quest.
Excuse me.
Have you seen anything real? Something that hasn't been, well, made.
Oh, I'm talking about something that hasn't been made. But again, here's a psychiatrist.
I can't see my psychiatrist. He was made. He's a robot.
I'm looking.
Your name?
Johnson, Harry Johnson.
Are you a resident of the system?
I'm a traveler. I'm looking for something real.
You've been walking. How far are you going?
As far as I can go.
It's so slow.
So slow.
Hire an air car. There's an agency in block 10789.
An air car? Yes. Of course. Thank you. He hadn't thought of that. A man flying in the air must see the end of the city. And at the end of the city, there just had to be...
something real!
Maximum altitude. The city fell away. The buildings, blocks upon blocks, were left behind. After many miles of traveling, Johnson, in his air car, saw a change in the gray jungle of cement below him. The buildings were becoming fewer.
The city's coming to an end. In all my life, I've never been out of the city. City's ending. Ending!
Harry Johnson craned forward. The thought of what lay ahead sent his heart thumping excitedly. And then, even as the city thinned, another city, even bigger than the last, leapt up to take its place.
At the end of the city, it's just another city.
In agony, Harry Johnson punched the keys of the air car control at random, and the vessel fell to the west. Its occupant no longer cared.
I might as well be dead. I can't go back. I can't live.
like I've seen them in the gray and in this world.
I don't know. What's that?
What have you seen? Harry Johnson had seen a great patch of color he had never set eyes on in his life before. Green. The air car was approaching a great puff.
Down.
I got to see it. I knew there was something else.
The great spark exploded across his eyes. He recoiled from the assault of greenery that filled his world, and his finger stabbed at the descent button.
Down!
The tiny vehicle spiraled away and came, eventually, to rest upon a richly carpeted lawn in the middle of the great park. Harry Johnson sat unmoving for a long time, and then he climbed up onto the first grass he had ever seen in his whole unsatisfactory life.
Newton! A park. A gigantic park. I thought man had forgotten. How could any man forget such beauty as this? I can see it. I'm ill. I'm running. Through grass.
Running in the most beautiful
place in the world!
A bird. A bird.
But that was all. The bird didn't call again. Harry Johnson fell asleep. The lines of worry and boredom etched on his face over many years disappeared as if by magic. The air was pleasantly warm, and he had no thought of danger. His last conscious thought was that his journey of discovery had only just begun.
A bird. I heard.
Recently, I received a letter from Mrs. Myra Strawn of Mainland Rose Bank in the Cape in relation to our product, Biotech. It was quite a lengthy letter and emphasized many of the points we've been making over the past months about Biotech. She said that when the product first came on the market, she and her daughters were a bit skeptical, but nevertheless decided to give it a go. And indeed, she is now most enthusiastic and a great supporter. She recommends it to neighbors and friends. Another letter from Mrs. J. Lake of Fruitplay Mine Springs said that she wished to congratulate the makers of Biotech and went on to say that she had two children, 6 and 7 years of age, and that her spin dryer was not able to cope with the stubborn stains of their prey curds. Well, nowadays, she soaks with Biotech overnight in cold water and finds her washing much whiter, and colored clothes are brighter and stain-free.
Harry Johnson awoke to the first green morning he could ever remember. He walked for perhaps half a mile and came upon an expanse of water which was not enclosed by concrete. It was a lake.
Sailing on all that water. What are they?
On the placid water sat several creatures with long, graceful necks. They were swans. The man's eyes watered with tears of pleasure, and he ran and ran.
Now I've found something real. I've found 100 things that are real!
And then the man, Harry Johnson, found the rose garden. A curious onslaught of color, the like of which he could never have imagined in his gray city days. Roses and roses and roses. Mile after mile of exotic green.
Who looks after all this? Who tends the garden and the trees and the roses?
Someone must.
He was still puzzling over this annoying detail when he came upon the caretaker's cottage. After just a moment of hesitation, Harry, no.
Come in. You come to see my park?
That's right. I had no idea that such a place existed. I thought it was all gone. That the city had swallowed everything.
No. Not everything. Gone. Some some places remain. Parklands like this estate. Not many people come to them anymore.
But why not? Seems inconceivable that anyone would want to stay in the city when beauty exists on their doorstep.
What is your name?
Harry.
Harry Johnson. What you do not understand, Mr. Johnson, is that most people have forgotten what beauty is. And the rest can't be bothered. You're the first visitor I've had in years.
But surely you don't look after all this yourself?
Heaven, no, young man. They're robots. Machines to tend the gardens and the lawns. I'm too old to do anything but sit and wait.
But I didn't see...
Oh, of course you didn't. They do the necessary work by night. Senses such as theirs have no need in the light of day. Prevents them from despoiling the landscape when visitors arrive. Not that it would make much difference these days.
How wise. I couldn't bear here. Machines. All this beauty. You live here? All alone?
Well, I've no need for the cities. The cities have no need of me. Here I can be one with nature. I'm fed and looked after by the machines. A necessary evil, I'm afraid. I don't want for anything. I wish for no more.
I'd like to stay here.
With you? Oh, I doubt that that would be possible. The city...
Blaze it with the city. I don't care what happens to me. What difference does one life here or there matter?
On the contrary, it matters a great deal, Mr. Johnson.
But I could apply for permission.
I suppose you could try.
It's all so wonderful. How did it all begin?
How did what begin?
The city,
Johnson.
The world, everything. When did we start eating our planet?
Ah, no one knows, my boy. No one knows. That it was when the gods left Earth and ascended to the stars and closed the gates so that we couldn't follow. We had only one world. What else could we do?
But where will it end?
End? But it has ended, hasn't it? Not very often did I have the chance to converse.
What's happening? It's getting dark. But the day can't be ending. The days were once much longer. It's only out here that they're short. You see, man's changed even the length of the day. It's changed everything. The old caretaker followed Harry to the open door, smiling. In the doorway was a tremendous rose bush. Scarlet blooms burst hungrily towards the sunlight. A sudden desire swept over the little visitor from the gray city. He stretched out a hand towards the flower, meaning to pluck one, to carry it with him.
No! Huh? You mustn't touch the flower.
You mustn't touch
it. No!
I've had enough of order. This is no place for order.
No!
Harry Johnson lifted the broken flower to his nose and sniffed arrogantly. And even as he did so, the rose withered and died. Dead leaves crumpled into a wraith-like gossamer remnant at his father's death.
It's not a real flower.
He looked at the old man, and the despair in the caretaker's eyes was the most terrible sight he had ever seen.
No!
And he crouched and with one savage pull, rinsed up the whole bush. The whole splendid thing came away easily. Immediately, it withered and died.
They're fake. The roses are fake. Plastic. But if the roses are fake, the whole garden must be a fake. It isn't real. I've been tricked. You filthy liar! You almost had me believing. All I wanted was the truth. You could have given it to me. Only you, and you chose to lie. And why? I should have known. I should have guessed. You're a machine. You're a robot like all the rest, aren't you?
I told you not to pick the rose. I tried to stop you from finding out the truth.
Truth? Truth!
And the old man fell to the ground, and Johnson began to kick him. He kicked with all his strength until the face broke,
and the synthetic fibers appeared through the destroyed paper cabin. And then he left the robot, which had seemed to him like a real man. He ran fast away, across the green, false grass, and began to search desperately for the one real bloom, one blossom that hadn't been made by man. He swore and he cried as he wrenched at the wires that held each and every bush fast in the synthetic soil. And the wires scratched his hand. And he laughed as he saw the blood flow from his cut. Agents from the city. That's what they are. Agents from the city. They followed them. They're going to take me back. Back to the city. The city that covers the world. 27 miles deep. Nothing that real exists. Don't you understand? Robots are so close to humans and humans are so close to robots. It's impossible to tell the difference anymore. Don't you understand? I might be the last man in the world. Blood in my hand. See? Blood! I can't go back. I can't go back to the city. And the aircar landed a little distance away. Two figures alighted and slowly made their way towards the man, groveling in the muck, thick grass by the torn, ruined, synthetic side. And even as they walked towards him, Harry grabbed at some of the twisted, broken wire and scratched savagely at his wrist until the blood flowed redly and fast from the swollen arteries. He held his wrist aloft and shook them at the approaching figure.
See it? You see it? You blasted machine? I can do something you can never do! I can die!
And the two figures reached Harry and stood and watched him dispassionately. And Harry, crouching on the ground, wondered at their patience and seeming lack of interest. The blood flowed and flowed. And only when the blood had stopped flowing and the false earth had swallowed the last drop of precious spirit did he comprehend their patience. He stared at his upheld arm and willed the blood to flow afresh. But none gushed forth from the tattered wrist. His veins were empty, already collapsing.
I couldn't tell from the air. I wondered if he was one of them or...
I knew. Look what he's done. All this metal.
Get it over with. I've got to get back.
And Harry Johnson still lived. All his blood gone, and yet he still lived. His brain and heart had no need of the blood designed only to fool his conscience and his fellow men. His was the ultimate evolution. A mind that existed independently of his synthetic body. There was nothing new. Not even the man who sought it. There were no tears to express Johnson's grief. His weary body seemed suddenly to split asunder. He sprawled upon the treacherous earth, and with his face buried in the lying grass, wept for the passing of all things real.
Come on, don't waste time. Get it over with.
And he never even touched the narrow shaft that entered his chest and cancelled his soulless life.
Biotech acts with a biological action to soak out the stubbornest stains and loosen dirt. New Biotech is great for all textiles and synthetic wipes and colors. It contains no bleach. Get amazing new Biotech today and let soaking do the washing.
I feel like a new man.
It's a lovely day today.
I thought I was asleep.
I took a grandpa headache powder and I'm well better.
When colds and flu are about, grandpa headache powders are what you need. Grandpa headache powders work fast because they dissolve almost immediately. Grandpa makes all those dreadful flu symptoms disappear quickly. So, whenever you're in pain, get fast relief. Get Grandpa headache powder.
Ah, Grandpa.
You have just been listening to Quest by Lee Harding, brought to you by Biotech, the new soak and free wash powder. Quest was adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe. Listen again next Friday night at 9:30 to SF68.
Now, just a reminder that you're tuned to the national network.